Now, while the government tries to figure out how far to go to curb pollution, one company in Southern California thinks it found the answer. 22,000 miles straight up. NPR's Ina Jaffe explains.
We all know how a conventional power plant works, right? You burn coal or natural gas or split some atoms that heats water, which makes steam, which sets a turbine spinning. And that makes electricity. But the Solarin company wants to make electricity that'd be associated with another kind of sound.
3, 2, 1. We have ignition and liftoff of a Delta.
Solarin, as you may guess from their name, is in the solar power business. And if you're looking for a location for a solar power plant, space has a lot going for it. There's sunshine 24/7, and the real estate is free. But getting all the parts up there and putting them all together, that's the hard part. Scientists have been looking for a way to do that for decades.
The thing in space was going to be so heavy, it was going to take, I mean, hundreds or thousands of rockets to put it in orbit and thousands of astronauts.
That's Gary Spurnack, the CEO of Solarin. About 8 years ago, he got together with a bunch of engineers he knew from his years at Hughes Aerospace.
You know, they'd been in the business for 20, 30 years. They had solved just impossible problems for, you know, working on a lot of government programs that you can't talk about.
So they all started trying to figure out how to make an orbiting solar power plant light enough so that it could be launched relatively cheaply. The solution they came up with was to not make one big thing, but to put two or three or even four separate modules in the same geosynchronous neighborhood.
You have a radar and they kind of track each other and there's little thrusters that keep themselves into position.
So one part is, in essence, a big mirror that collects and focuses sunlight on part two, the solar panels, which beam energy to part three, a really huge antenna that focuses and beams power back to Earth in the form of radio waves.
Each of those parts could fit on an existing rocket, so you don't need to design a brand new rocket to go off and do things, and so that's great. Number two, since you don't have to put them together, you don't need astronauts or robots.
And in terms of technology, there's not a lot that's really new, says Spurnack. Satellites already run on solar power, and if you have satellite TV, you're already receiving radio waves from space. That's why Solarin believes it can have its solar power plant launched and operating in the year 2016.
If it works, it could be a real game changer in the industry and indeed for the entire world.
Says Jonathan Marshall, a spokesman for Pacific Gas and Electric. PG&E has signed the nation's first commercial contract to buy enough power from Solarin for nearly 250,000 homes. The price they agreed to is proprietary, but described by both parties as similar to ground-based solar. And there's no risk in this deal for PG&E, says Marshall.
We're paying only for the energy if and when it's delivered. If they don't deliver, we don't pay.
But even if Solarin can successfully deliver power, it may not be able to deliver for its investors, says Severin Borenstein, co-director of the Energy Institute at the UC Berkeley School of Business.
It seems pretty clear that technologically one can put solar panels in space and beam the power back to Earth. The question is whether Solarin can do it cost-effectively.
But by the year 2020, all California utilities will be required to produce a third of their power with renewable sources of energy. That's about double what they have right now. Ina Jaffe, NPR News.